Andre 3000, top three best rappers to ever fucking breathe. Unfortunately, we will never have another Andre 3000 like solo album. Low key, kind of heartbroken to hear that. He faced such challenges, like with anxiety around around making music, because he felt like, you know, time is moving forward and he's no longer hip enough to talk about topics. Like, he's just no longer hip. Like, he's not in the crowd anymore. But it's like, nah, that you have a talent. We want to hear what you think of how you would express this. Fuck what everybody else is doing. You got your own lane.
Listening to him talk about it and like the anxiety doing music, yeah, like gives him, I do really like wish the fans could show him the support that he needs to understand that, like, we don't need it to be perfect. Cause I think that's what it is. Like, he literally talks about, like, he doesn't know if he can give us, I don't know if I can go in the studio and give people another, like, you know, 10 out of 10 album. And I think that, like, that's a
it's a red flag.
How have you been, man? How's the haircut feel? Your head cold?
Maybe it would be if it was winter, honestly, but it's...
Oh, yeah, no, of course. I should have said breezy then, yeah.
That hasn't been a sensation either.
Okay. Because I feel like when I cut my hair, I definitely noticed the difference in wind feel.
I haven't noticed a difference in feel, but just, like, my silhouette is weird when I look at it now. Like, I saw my shadow, like, immediately after, and I was like, man, that is not great.
You don't like it?
So... I don't dislike it. I mean, this is how my hair has been for...
Can we see? I'm sure I've seen your head before, but I'm curious.
Pause.
Resume. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Love and curiosity among friends. What you mean? Let me see that head, baby boy.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, exactly. Because I made it weird. Like,
Yeah, let me see that head, my boy. Turn to the side for me real quick. Yeah, turn all the way around in that chair, my boy. Yeah,
360.
That's what I like to see.
Slowly.
You doing all right? Okay. You doing all right?
Drop it down. Mm-hmm. Lean that head back. See them neck folds. The back of that head is ridiculous, girl. I mean, boy.
Oh, shit, my fault. I'm just saying, you got a full head of hair back there in that crown. You know what I'm saying? Some niggas, that should be kind of shallow. But you.
But not you. You different.
I don't see nothing.
You special. Yeah.
It's thick.
Best head I ever seen in my life, bro.
Best head I ever seen.
Take your glasses off. Let me see the temples. Hey, welcome everybody to Waving the Red Flag, the number one dating and phrenology podcast in the universe. It's your boy Eddie, it's Josh, it's Alvin. Welcome to the show. Let's get into some topics. Let's get into some serious adult conversation.
I want to say one more thing.
Okay.
Yeah, take off your cool, my nigga.
Take off your what?
Take off your cool.
Cool.
Hey, take off your cool. I want to see you. I want to see you. Yes, indeed. I knew AB was going to catch it.
I got to catch up on music from like 1992 to like 2008, because I really didn't listen to any music at all between those two periods.
That is Speaker Box and The Love Below.
Below. Thank you. At minimum, The Love Below. You never listened to The Love Below?
Is that an album?
Oh, my God.
What the fuck?
I mean, I've heard it, but it's an album. I've heard of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Andre 3000.
Don't do this, man. Can y'all just invite me in instead of shaming me?
Nigga, we are.
We told you. You just told
us. Yes.
Yeah, and I just asked for clarification. Is it an album? And then y'all hit me with, oh, this thing.
And we were shocked. Like, oh, is that an album?
Hide it.
It was the last rap album to go diamond, though, man. Like, it was a cultural phenomenon.
Lots of things are cultural phenomena. Like, I've heard of it. I've heard
lots of things
the
are not
below.
Cultural phenomena. Lots of things
literally
are not
they are.
Phenomena.
There's no, that's not. Why they have a word.
Literally,
for that.
Literally, they're not.
Damn, a phenomenon.
Did I hit a literally?
Literally, they all.
I do declare.
Fucking Draco Malfoy on the podcast tonight.
I most protest, in fact.
Right.
Potter. Have you heard The Love Below?
Have you heard? Good sir.
Three stacks.
How big dare boy. Your ears have never been graced with the automagical tunes of the loveth beloweth.
An absolute Philistine.
But like seriously, like
heard of tip drill. Jesus.
It's like there aren't a lot of cultural phenomena. Cultural phenomena are rare when you look at how much media is put out all the time. There are literally thousands and thousands of albums that get put out, and a very small percentage of those albums becomes like a genre defining like album of an era. Speaker Box and Love Below was one of those things. Like you could arguably say that gave rise to like Drake, for example. You know,
sure. No. See what I'm getting at,
Nelly,
is
sweatsuit at the time.
Mm-hmm. As a percentage of all media created, a very small percentage is a cultural phenomenon. But in terms of like raw volume, especially in a global context, there is always shit that is like world changing that people don't know about. Like there's shit that's famous to one group that's not famous to another group. There's shit that's like, oh my God, you had to be there, and other people never heard of that shit. Like there's shit that all three of us have never fucking heard of that is like world changing shit to a certain group of people.
Well, let me ask you this, because that's fair, but as a native Atlantean.
True. Yeah, no, I'm not saying I'm not tripping. Yeah.
Because your family knew of Outkast, Dungeon Family. Mm. And even if you don't, like, I got to imagine niggas in your family was playing Dungeon Family Outkast. So just to follow that lineage and knowing how great of an artist Andre 3000 is, Big Boy deserves his flowers too.
And also, Josh, to piggyback, it's like Hey Ya, for example, was a global phenomenon much bigger than what you're describing, right? So there are definitely localized cultural phenomena that only a specific group knows. And then when you look at American media, which has a much outsized like impact on like global media than most other markets, like we are the media capital. And then when you look at Black media as a huge percentage of that, even relative to our population, you look at how big Hey Y'all was, you could not escape it like anywhere.
No,
There are probably people that have never listened to another Outkast song that can sing Hey Y'all line for line. You know what I mean? Like,
absolutely.
I'm not here saying I don't know Hey Y'all.
It's like Happy by Pharrell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like, for sure. I hate that song, but
knowing the album is a different thing. Like, I know the stuff that hit to like mainstream global household name shit where people knew the song but didn't even know who Outkast was. That's definitely in my mind. But knowing the album name is a different separate thing.
And mind you, I'm not trying to shit on you at all. I guess because like from my experience, that was such a big thing, because like we all fuck with Outkast heavy.
No, you look, you're
and me
not
and my
even
friends
wrong.
We was all listening to like the Love Below Speaker Box, and like we was debating who had the better album. Andre 3000.
Speaker Box is underrated though.
It's underrated, but it's underrated. Look, but you can't lie,
Flip Flop Rock is one of my favorite songs like of all time. Like just like the way the beat comes in, like the verses were phenomenal from all
absolutely.
Three of them. Like
absolutely, you know. Yo. And I'm not shitting on, I love Big Boy. Like, Big Boy don't get enough credit. But if you had to weigh those two albums against each other in terms of the test of time and like the forward movement and what it inspired in terms of genre bending music, Love Below got it, bro. Like, that nigga,
hands down.
Quick piece of history, that motherfucker Andre 3000 had that shit recorded in 2 weeks. Ellery was like, all right, Big Boy been working on the album. We can do like a duel, some shit. We need some music from you. Three Stacks was like, all right. A week and a half later, this nigga had the Love Below, like at least the skeleton of the Love Below ready, which is insane.
It was conceived as the soundtrack to a movie.
Yeah.
Which is why some of the songs kind of seem like out of place. Like the, you know, the song, the ode to like Frankenstein and the Bride of Frankenstein on the track.
Happy
like
Valentine's. Day.
Yeah, it was conceived as the soundtrack for a movie.
Yeah.
And you see also the bones of that similar structure going into Idlewild, which was a soundtrack first kind of movie. And that's also why, if you haven't heard the Idlewild soundtrack, for anybody listening, the Idlewild soundtrack is also fucking phenomenal.
Lil Wayne.
So amazing.
That song,
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud. Or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Hollywood Divorce.
Got a classic Three Stacks verse on that one, too. A is for Adamsville. B is for Bowen Home. See if I give a fuck if you like it.
Then you know I don't. Like, is it? Yeah, anyway, Three Stacks. We can't give you enough love and praise. And Big Boy, same. Even in the early 90s, his verses on the first Goody Mob album was deep as fuck. And that's when CeeLo Green was really spitting. And CeeLo Green is an incredible artist, but like back when CeeLo was like speaking on some real shit, like with government, like just what's going on in the streets, da 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 da. When Andre 2000 came on, he spit his verse. It was him and CeeLo basically going verse like bar for bar. Like it was either between CeeLo and Andre 2000, but I digress.
Shout out to Maze High alums, Goody Mob, fellow alma mater.
I'm not from any of those places, but you're nonetheless. Check out The Love Below, bro.
Okay. Absolutely. No, I will, because the idea of a conceptual album that's like conceived as a soundtrack to a movie, I like that.
But you heard Prototype, right? I was like, I hope that you're the one. Mm-hmm. If not, you are the prototype. Like that came from The Love Below.
I know I've heard multiple songs from it. Yeah.
Oh,
I've not never heard.
You've heard at least three. You've heard at least three.
Yeah. Got a song with Rosario Dawson.
Yeah.
I don't. What was the name? Spread for me. I can't wait to get you home.
Nice.
Don't let these words be in vain. So spread.
I think Big Boy's held his own as a quasi solo artist and then collaborating with other people. Again, Big Grams had like heat on that. So shout out to Big Boy as well.
And I also his own lyrics.
Yes, and I will also point out that there was a significant percentage of Outkast history where Big Boy was considered by far the better rapper. Like I'm thinking like 92 basically to 2000. Obviously, in the zeitgeist, that's no longer the case, but I do like to give Big Boy's flowers.
Yeah, and the thing about that is, though, because given the time period, Three Stacks was far above, like far beyond everybody else. Like because it wasn't normal what he was doing.
I agree.
Big Boy was like the real nigga. Like, was like, oh yeah, I'm rocking with him. Like, you know, for the niggas that was like, you know, I'm rocking with Big Boy.
But yeah,
you had to catch up and catch on to Three Stacks to get what he was saying. Like, but God damn it, Andre 3000, top three best rappers to ever fucking breathe, in my opinion. It's quality over quantity. Unfortunately, we will never have another Andre 3000 like solo album, but anytime you hear him, he kills it on some whole other shit and reminds you of why he's one of the best to touch a mic, in my personal opinion.
I don't think we'll never get a solo one, but like listening to him talk about it and like the anxiety doing music like gives him, I think a new Outkast project is much more likely than a solo project, because I think Big Boy doesn't have that same anxiety side to it. But I do really like wish that like the fans could show him the support that he needs to understand that like we don't need it to be perfect, because I think that's what it is. Like, he literally talks about like he doesn't know if he can give us The Love Below anymore. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if I can go in the studio and give people another like, you know, 10 out of 10 album. And I think that like that's a really weird position to be in as an artist, and I really wish that we could kind of convince him like as a culture that like we don't need him to do that, like we just love his voice. I do think that, you know, a collab is much more likely than a solo album. I agree.
Either, man, I don't think either one of them gonna happen. But yeah, a collab more than likely. But yeah, it's extremely unfortunate, and I was low key kind of heartbroken to hear that. he faced such challenges, like with anxiety around around making music, because he felt like, you know, time is moving forward and he's no longer hip enough to talk about topics. Like, he's just no longer hip. Like, he's not in the crowd anymore. But it's like, nah, fuck that. You have a talent. We want to hear what you think of how you would express this. Fuck what everybody else is doing. You got your own lane. It's just, I don't know. Like, it's so unfortunate. So-
I love old man introspective raps though, man. Like, yeah. Like 444 with Jay-Z was like, I was like, oh shit. I was like, oh man, this is true. I am 55 and looking back on my life. And I enjoyed that shit start to finish.
Absolutely.
Definitely overlooked, yeah.
Stamina.
I love Griselda. Griselda is like, I'm a old mafioso. I'm a old like drug dealer, like rap. Love that shit. Please give me more.
5 to 50 by Benny the Butcher is one of my favorite songs. I feel like I'm pushing weight listening to 5 to 50. Goddamn.
All 70 on what the fuck? Tana Talk 3. Benny comes in, gives his verse, talks about his shit. Then Conway comes in. Oh my fucking god, bro! Like, I want to be a drug dealer so bad.
Bro, for real, like, I want to just quit my job.
He's making six figures in corporate America. He's like, I think I got to make a career change. This is not, it doesn't align with my spirit.
Right.
If West Side Gun can do it, then obviously I can do it.
I got to go from a 50 pack to a chicken real quick, bro. Like, I got to get in this shit. This sounds fun.
I need to hit the bird line tonight. Tonight, I got to be in the bird line. Right.
Came at my mama house. Came back carrying things in. Be careful because they give you five for a robbery. Put their burying king pants in real niggas. Like, yo, like, what? Anyway.
This might be the life for me.
Wow. This sounds like, this sounds exciting. Like, I can see why women are attracted to this.
Where do I sign up? Honestly. Are you guys hiring? Did y'all see that women weaponizing incompetence 2 thing?
That's a good one.
That shit is true.
It is.
Because, like, one of our older, like, clips or whatever about, like, household labor, men will volunteer themselves in a role which is, I'm happy to do whatever you need me to do. Hey, baby, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. We'll split it 50-50. But the whole framework of that is wrong, because it's putting the responsibility of the woman to be the project manager of the home first and foremost. You say, hey, look, do you need me to clean the dish? Do you need? And it's like, no, what I need you to do is help.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud, or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Help me decide what the fuck needs to happen in this house and have an actual say, not ask me for tasks to be delegated to you like a child. Mm-hmm. I remember that in my follow-up videos to that, I made, like, I added more nuance and whatever about some of the dynamics that can appear. And one of them is that, because I've seen so many women be like, I remember I worked in, like, a restaurant, and one of the girls who was also, like, a kitchen person was, like, complaining because the dudes were letting her carry, like, drinks and chairs and stuff like that. And it's like, damn. And she was like, oh, damn, what's all these muscles for? Like, I'm, you know, I'm a, she, and she was short too. She was like, you know, 4'11 or some shit like that. She's like, y'all let me do all da da da. And I'm like, you work here. What do you mean? Like, this is what the job is. You don't, we don't reassign the jobs based on, like, oh, no, you're like, we're both cooks, but I'm the muscle cook and you're the little, you don't only the dainty shit. It's
the
like
limp, the limp cook.
Yeah, we do the whole job, including you. So, yeah, you lift shit. If you don't want to lift shit, then you don't do this job. You go do a different job. So you can't, you don't start saying, oh, because you have this capacity, you have to do all of that shit because you can do it. Like, that's not how anything works. The fuck? Yeah.
I do think that there's, so I want to say by and large, and I think over time I have a picture of your nuanced take of what that is. I do think there's something to be said about when you're looking to divide labor, the person who has such an effectiveness in a particular realm, if I can do it exerting 20%, of my effort, yes, and do it faster, I think that should be considered when we're looking at how we divide labor. But to the point of like weaponizing incompetence, I definitely think women do it. I think when you look at that situation, you also have to look at the context in which like those two things are not equal and opposite like forces, mm-hmm, when like women weaponize it versus when men weaponize it.
Furniture ain't got to be assembled every week and every day. Let's be real.
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. Dishes 100%. And laundry and
have to be done all the time. Childcare have to be done. Yes,
cooking
all
happens
the time.
Daily. Yeah,
but at the same time, there are 100% things that I just won't do that like women have said like that they like being done for them. For example, like I remember there was a big deal at various points in my life with women saying like, "Oh, you opened the car door for me," and I refuse to do that.
I'm not doing that.
Obviously, there are caveats. I'm talking specifically about somebody who's not in distress, somebody who's not
able-bodied. Yeah, imagine she's having a heart attack. Right. Bitch, you better open that door.
If you would get your ass,
I was having a heart attack.
Why are you
I
playing?
Would open my own
playing in my driveway,
door.
Bitch. Right. You better get your ass in there.
Having a stroke.
She trying to lift two like legs and cast into the shit. Please, could you help me? Weaponized incompetence. I just got out of the hospital.
Why'd you even let your legs get broken?
That's really the
problem
been
right
me.
There. If you couldn't navigate the world with your legs broke, you shouldn't have let that shit happen. You know what I'm
you
saying?
You should have moved, really. Step to the side. Cha-cha slide. Real smooth and get out the fucking way.
Right.
Now you in the driveway fumbling and shit.
To the left. To the left. Bitch, you ain't hit a soul? God damn. They gave you the directions.
And that's why you broke it. Come on.
So there's 100% things that like I draw lines on. Like I'm not going to open your car door if you're not in distress, if you're able-bodied, that kind of thing. But women will like try to weaponize that like when they can. But I do think that in the eyes of a lot of women, that's viewed as a leveling mechanism for the fact that men do it on things that are much more frequent, oftentimes much more serious. So I get it. Like, I mean, get what you can when you can get it, you know, that kind of thing.
I think that applies real strongly when you're in a cohabiting, long-term, committed relationship, which is where the garbage, childcare, food, second shift labor, mental labor conversation comes up. If y'all don't live together and you've only started dating in the last 3 months, you're not leveling shit. Like, it's too early in the relationship for you to... Now, but if you're married and you go, yeah, motherfucker, I take care of these babies every fucking day and you're an incompetent male partner, you don't clean up after yourself, I have to tell you everything, you don't even know what the grocery list is to keep this household fucking functioning, yes, you piece of shit, put the fucking IKEA shelf together. That is honestly more than fair. Like, you're just trying to take a little bit off the top to get your pay. That's not always the situation, though.
Agree.
It's been times when I've dated women, and I don't know if this might be weaponized incompetence or if this genuinely might be who
incompetence.
They are.
Okay,
but it's I don't know if it's weaponized incompetence or just straight up incompetence. So.
Yeah.
And I remember like
it's civilian incompetence.
They sometimes do shit and say shit, and I'd be like, ain't no way in hell you just goddamn stupid. Like, ain't no way
don't
in hell.
Don't know how something works?
Yeah, like, don't know how something work or just do something. They're just moving. They're not thinking about shit. They're just moving.
Okay.
And they fuck up something. And, like, you got to step in, like, as the man, and then perform your, like, no. This doesn't go on
hot.
The top shelf because it's too heavy.
You got to put the park brake on. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, no, true. Because that does remind me of, like, there was this video. Oh, man. He was moving, like, concrete or maybe marble slabs on, like, a dolly. And he was telling his girl, hey, like, just hold these. Like, hold these back. And she started asking him some questions about why he was doing something a certain way and let the slabs go. And so they leaned forward and, like, crushed the shit out of his fingers. Like, probably broke his thumb. Just here. And he was like, it just walked away like real. Like, he just, he was like, if I speak, so he just went.
He's going, yo, nope. Nope. I'm going to have to apologize for you knocking off all my fingers and breaking my thumb if I talk right now.
I got Frankenstein nails. All my shits is black after this. And I got a woosah. It's okay. You tried your best. All right. Moving on.
But yeah. No, that does it. It's.
But I think that's everybody.
I think it's everybody, but like, there's a role, because like I was saying, like, it's kind of a way to balance the scales a little bit, and then like inflate the man's ego. It's like, oh my god, I'm just a little girl. I can't do this. I don't know.
Because niggas like that shit too. Let's not bullshit.
You know what I'm saying? It's like,
niggas
feed into
that too.
You know what I'm saying? Niggas be into that shit.
Like
oh my god.
I knew you could open that jar, but like, it feels nice to be like, yeah, the jar. But you know, we like that. Yeah.
Oh, it is a little tight.
Yeah.
A little elbow grease in this motherfucker. Oh my god, how did you do that? You know.
I'm a strong boy.
Look at my muscles.
Yeah. Exactly. Oh my god, you're so strong. I feel like that's it.
Imagine how I'd be if I went to the gym, you know what I'm saying, girl?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's how everything is. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, you give compliments to your girl or whatever. It might not be all the way true, but it's like, we just like making each other feel nice. It's, you know, cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my god, that's a whole nother topic.
Oh, what?
When we tell white lies to make our girl feel good, or just to make a woman.
Yeah, everybody
feel good.
Does it. Everybody does it. Come on.
Everybody does it.
Look, amazing, gigantic, biggest one I ever seen. No, it doesn't.
I don't even do it.
I can imagine.
Wow,
yeah.
Me too.
I can see that. How do I look? Quite terrible today. But I'm sure tomorrow will be adequate. But we'll go over that in today's performance review.
So I do a thing where it's like if you don't want an honest answer, like,
don't ask an honest question.
Don't ask me. But I also do a thing where it's like, if I really truly feel like that, I make a point to say it. So like, it kind of balances out pretty well in like my relationships. Because like, if like I'm in a relationship with you, I probably really dig your style. I probably really like the way you look. So I'm probably going to tell you that just like organically, like pretty frequently anyway. So you don't have to play this like, oh, how do I look kind of situation. But if you're going to play how do I look situation, I'm going to tell you what I really think. And
I think it depends.
How does that work out?
Well. It depends. Yeah. It depends.
Fairly well.
What do you say? Because
What's the worst you've ever said?
I'm sure that me and the rest of mankind could benefit from this guidance.
He doing some kind of mental.
If you really want to be honest,
jujitsu.
What guidance? Guidance on which aspect? So like, if somebody asked me like, what I think of how they look and I don't like it, I'll just say like, yeah, you know, it's not my style.
Ooh, okay, that's nice. Passive aggressive with it. It's not what I would have done.
Yep, that's not what I would have said. If I was in your body, not what I would have did with it. But yeah.
But if you like it, I love it. Yeah. Okay. So what if it's more specific? If it's you know, do I look fat? How does my body look? Like what's in your opinion? If you had to translate how you think to how you think other human beings think, what's the worst thing you think you said in that context?
That is a fair question.
Years ago, I think I told a girl that like I don't typically like women of your body type.
That's crazy.
Tough. That's tough. That's tough.
I will also say that was in a conversation where like we were both like clips were unloaded. Like that was probably the meanest thing I said.
Okay.
That was probably not the mean, like, it wasn't equivalent to the meanest thing she said.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh,
so
she was okay, but that sounds like a fight, honest situation.
No,
yeah, and it was also like she didn't have society bearing down on her because she was like incredibly thin. So it wasn't like society had been
right. Yes.
Like she was like, how you gonna tell me you don't like? I like everybody likes women that are built like me, kind of situation.
Like not me.
So it wasn't
that's fair.
A huge blow to her ego or anything. Damn. But
AB Samuels over here just humbling folks.
Nah, but see, like one thing about
you're right. It was more of a fight than a discussion.
Yeah. Hey, look, I'm not saying this to harm you. We're in a relationship. This is me being healthily but unconventionally honest. This is like, yo, you kind of had me fucked up. By the way, I know everybody likes you, but like, I usually don't go for skinny women.
Yeah, like, nah. And the thing with me is that most of the time, like, it's the conversation of like, do I look fat in this or something, or like, almost never comes up with me. Even the conversation of like, oh, how do I look today? Almost
that's TV
never
shit.
Happens
that's TV
to me.
Shit.
Like, but usually what happens is there's no conversation, or again, because I'm with you, I like you physically, I probably think your style is great, which is one of the things that probably attracted to me and you in the first place. I probably see you and automatically say, oh, you look really nice today. So like it almost never happens to me. In the few situations where it's happened, I've been very to Eddie's descriptor, been pretty passive aggressive with how I said it. I've said something to the equivalent of, oh, you know, it's not my style.
No, passive aggression is the best kind of aggression, so I'm sorry.
Real quick, I will say this about, and this is a general statement, not, you know, if it don't apply, let it fly. Mm. Cool. All right? So,
you're getting us ready. About,
I got to.
Yeah, I got to. Lose like, it's about, necessary. God damn. Like,
yo. Just because I'm speaking very generally, like, in terms of, like, how women are and when it comes to an argument, right? Because you know how, like, niggas, like, pillow talk to, like, niggas pillow talking, like, they'll, like, share, like, their deepest insecurities or whatever. A woman will bring that shit up into the heat of an argument, in the heat of the moment in an argument, like, your deepest insecurity, some shit that should, that as a man, you wouldn't say to a woman. Because you know that shit gonna cut deep. And, like, deeper than you, what you mean it for. But she'll bring that shit up and just, motherfucker. Quick.
That's an immediate we're done.
That's why I immediately understood that argument that Alvin AB had with the person he was talking about. Was like when he retorted, oh, well, I don't normally date women who have your body type. That's a very light jab in response to what she probably said to him that still probably cut her the same way, even though that was a light jab from what he actually could have said. So there's that. And in terms of like TV shit, like y'all not being asked those questions of, oh my God, like how do I look in this? Or like them expressing their displeasure with how their body is in a certain dress. That's something else?
No. I was just expressing agreement that was the caveat that I had in my mind, which is I said, oh, I've never had a girl say, am I fat? I have had a girl negative self-talk in front of me, obviously seeking to be
validated,
coddled, you know, validated is probably a better word. And I'm game for that. So, but yeah, I was just agreeing with your point.
I have had like those conversations like, oh my God, I don't like how I look. And like, this girl is looking at a fucking like Shein model, like a model. That's the photos Shein. Have been doctored.
Those not even real people.
This dress don't look right on. Like, it's like, you look good in it to me. Like, you look good in it. Like, you
can't put to me
to
on
me.
At the end of anything. That's
like, nah, no, that's fucked up though. Because if I like you,
your dick is big to me is not. I don't want to hear that.
If my dick is big to you and it's getting the job done,
yeah. But I just say it's big. Why you adding extra caveats and footnotes to shit? Come on. That's
no.
Just leave
like,
it
think
off.
Think about this. I get it. But think about this in terms of an actual one-on-one conversation, like an intimate conversation, where she is, like expressing like doubt. So like, oh my God, like, oh, I just wish I had a fatter ass. I just wish I was filling this out. Or like, I don't even feel like I look good in this. Like, no, like, you are beautiful. Like, you know you are. Like, you look good. You look very beautiful to me. Like, what do you mean? If I say it like that, like.
Yes. No, I think it's very much like, if, okay, so there's a difference between saying you are beautiful to me and saying like, I find you beautiful or something like that. Like, those feel a little bit different. Because to me, feels
context,
like you said something and then made a caveat versus expressing your direct desire. Like, that expressing your problem. Direct desire is different.
Yeah, I agree. Because it's like, you could very easily be saying to me to say like, hey man, everybody else find your ass ugly, but.
Exactly. Because why would you say to me? Because that's relative.
Yeah. But so you have to have a very specific tone. It has to be very specific in context. I think it can be pulled off, to Josh's point, but I also think that Eddie's correct. Like,
yeah,
it has to be utilized very specifically.
So the correct way to say that is, I find you extremely attractive.
Even that is not right. But what I'm aiming for is like, I'm trying to find what the words is, because I feel like we express this kind of stuff all the time, which is like, it's not about where you fall within the world and how other people view, because that's what so much of the, like, when somebody's looking for validation, they're looking for like kind of two things, which is like, does the world view me as beautiful, and does the person that I seek direct validation from view me as beautiful? So I feel like when you do the to me, you're kind of doing that thing that we talked about with Ben Askren and them, where you're starting with the negative, like you're starting with what they're not, because you're going, to me reminds them of all the people that aren't you. You know what I'm saying? It brings the crowd into it. So I feel like you're aiming for something that's like, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen, or something like that. It's like, it's about me, and it's about what I feel towards you, as opposed to being about how my opinion is different from everybody else. Because, bitch, you ugly to these other niggas, but come on home. Because to me, like...
Come on home. Well, I'll tell you this, though, because I've experienced like a situation where the girl I was dating or involved with, like, she... It felt like she cared so much about what other people thought.
Oh, you can't validate all that. Yeah, you can't be the whole world.
And it's like these people don't give a fuck about you. Mm. Why do you care? Like, you got somebody in your corner.
It's complicated.
It's fine, that's worth a conversation. It would probably be best had if we had like a woman on this pod to talk about it. But it's like, the general population don't give a fuck about you. Don't give a fuck about what you're doing. They're not even thinking about you like that. And if you're seeking validation from like guys, they just look and it's like, it's more physical. It's like, yeah, I fuck. Oh my God. Like, I'm just paying this person attention because I'm attracted to her. Like, I would have sex with this person. I'm interested in this person because I'm attracted to her. Or if you're talking about women, it's like, oh my God, she looks so good. She's so hot. Like, oh my God. Like, yeah, she could definitely hang out with us. Like, because she fits our mold and our group and what we're doing over here. Da 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 da. Like, you know, one aspect of it, but I'm like, for one, like, you do look good, and then two, I think you're beautiful, but that's some corny ass shit, even if you mean it. And in terms of like how it could be perceived to a person who don't even want to fucking listen to you because they don't even believe it in their own self, they would rather hear it from a stranger than somebody who actually fuck with them in real life.
Yeah, no, that's true, and I think to because it sounds like you're kind of like talking about a problem that you had,
or a thing that you're
frustrated.
Thing.
Yeah. I feel like at some point, yeah. You had to get it out. No, I get that. I think that's a valid frustration. I would say, I think at some point you're no longer responsible for that. Like, because my starting point was, I do think that we have responsibility to make our partners feel good, even if it requires a little bit of omission or dishonesty. Like, I don't think that's crazy at all. I think we should. Yeah. I think that's a nice thing to do. If you care about your person, like, talk nice to them. Like, make them feel beautiful. Make them feel big or little or whatever the fuck they like to, like, do that. Make them feel like a strong boy, like, or make them feel like a little dainty woman if that's what they want. But at some point, you can't do heavy lifting. If they need the validation of tens of thousands of people and you're one man, you can't cure all that. You can't heal all that. But if they're looking for your validation to be told that they're sexy and desired by you, I think you have an obligation. Maybe obligation is too strong of a word, but I think it's a good thing for you to show up and do that, man or woman.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. Can we? You made a comment on the IG post, and then somebody replied saying like, "Yo, I hope y'all would talk about this. I was hoping y'all would talk about this." Oh, it was a buying your mama house one.
Oh, yeah.
It was on Instagram. It was a text.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. What's up? What you think?
All right. So from Paris the Alpha, niggas be bragging about buying their moms a house and being a homeowner is definitely an accomplishment, but your mother is not your responsibility. If anything, that says a lot about her lack thereof and you having to do for her what a man couldn't or didn't do. Your mother not your responsibility, so accomplishing shit and giving her the reward really just continuing the cycle. Your mama need to know you are her child and you don't owe her shit. And anything you do for her is out of love, not a requirement. You bought your mama a house, but your baby mama still renting, and you ain't got a place that you own? Lose a shit. Your mother will be fine. Leave her to leave the nest, nigga. Your mama having you in poverty says a lot about her deductive reasoning.
Oh, shit.
All right, I'm gonna finish it. So we got to get the full context. She made sacrifices as a parent because she's supposed to. You don't owe people that. You, her responsibility, no, that was her responsibility. No child asked to be here. I don't expect niggas who been their mama everything from day one to agree with me. You still attached to the nipple, we get it. I'm still standing in your mama, not your responsibility, despite how much you want to show her gratitude.
Let me jump in on this one because I feel particularly strong.
Yes.
And I'm gonna be as succinct as I can. So, tale of two parents. My mother basically washed her hands of me when I was about 10. She made me my sister's problem. And that is in everything that it was. You know, like, she wasn't buying me food. She wasn't buying me clothes. Like, I remember I went to college with $40 in my pocket. And my sister said, help me move. And I couldn't afford something. It was a book or something or another. And my mother, like, couldn't or wouldn't like help me get it, and I can give you a long list of like stories like that and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I was basically just a person that allowed her to, you know, keep Section 8 when I was underage, that kind of situation. Mm-hmm. Juxtaposition to my father was not in my life much when I was younger, for various reasons. He came back into my life when I was about, you know, middle of my teens, you know, 13, 14 years old, and has been a fixture in my life since then. My father's take on what you owe parents, quote unquote, is one of reciprocity. So my father and me have spoken about end of life planning. My father's a little bit older. He's, you know, he's in his mid 60s. So he literally says that everything that he does from this point out is to minimize his burden of his end of life. And he has said that when he dies, he wants to make sure that he's not an expense and that he leaves me and my sister something. Mm-hmm. Granted that at least one of my sisters is not his child. He has life insurance policies that he pays for all of us.
Wow.
Because his role is not that he wants to be provided for. He wants to die and leave us something. At the same time, my grandmother is very old. She's in her 90s. She's had a stroke. He's her primary caregiver. He definitely feels like you should care for your parent when you want to and when they need you to. But ultimately, like, that's what I want to get into. So, like, am I going to buy my mother a house given that she hasn't poured into me? Absolutely not. I'm just not. I would never buy my mother a house. I could pay my mother's rent right now, and I'm not going to. Mm. If my father needed anything from me, despite the fact that he has said that his whole goal is to not be a burden, his whole goal is to leave us better, in a better situation, as a result of his death than it was when, you know, he was still in his late life. If he needed anything from me right now, if he needed me to buy him a house, if he needed me to buy him a truck, if he needed me to pay his rent, the nigga gots it. So I think that when we talk about those kind of situations, we think about it too black and white. We think about it too much as a, oh, I'm just going to keep giving, 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 and not receive. And I think that if you look at it as you are two people that have a mutually, like, beneficial respect for each other, those conversations become a lot simpler, and that you don't have to have these, like, wild, out-of-pocket swings on any side of the spectrum, too far to the poles, about how you handle, you know, interactions with your parents or even your baby mama. I think it becomes very simple if you think about it like that.
If you don't have just straight hate for the person, it becomes a lot, or not, maybe not even hate, but if you just go, yeah, no, we're good. Therefore, this conversation becomes way simpler. Like, I care for you. It doesn't have to become a conversation of, am I obligated? Do I owe you? Hey, I got it. So you got it. I know I don't owe you this, but I got it. So you got it. And I feel like the energy on this tweet is because, like, for instance, and you've talked in depth and probably will more about the relationship that you've had with your mother and the way that she kind of consistently failed you as a parent. And it's like, in a situation like that's not everybody's situation. And this tweet, I think, is acting like that's that everybody's mama ain't shit, and you know what I mean. And sorry,
That's why I wanted to tell the story in the juxtaposition of two parents, right?
Because you have a comparison. Of here's what it looks like. Yeah,
exactly. I wanted to show that. Yeah, there's a parent that like I'm not paying their rent. There's a parent that like, despite the fact that, you know, he thinks that like I shouldn't have to, that I would if he asked
you
me
would.
To. Boom.
And I think because I know I'm the like anti-natalists, parents have done a crime to their like, I know my takes are that, and I stand by almost all of those. In a situation like this, though, I think that we have to kind of take into account that like the way parenthood is done, especially in like some in all communities, but in a particular way within ours, it's like low-key parents are dragged into parenthood as crazily as kids are. Like, you're both looking at each other like, all right, we in this situation. I have a kid and I'm a parent now. No, because it's not thought about in a consciously critical way a lot of the time to go, I want to bring a person into the world. So with that in mind, you also have to take into account like the social mobility aspect of this, which is that like your mother may have not even had the opportunity to be in a position to buy herself a house, to even get there. But she did maybe have the opportunity to get you to a point that at some point in your life you might be able to. And so if she succeeds in doing that and you go, hey, look, I know I don't owe you, but I want to pay it forward. You were a kind spirit to me in the world when you could have not been. I want to make sure you're good. I don't owe you shit. Here's a house. I think that has the potential to be a very beautiful thing. And there's just a lot of, and perhaps justifiable, but just like vitriol in kind of this take, because there are sections of it that I agree, but it's like, why is it so fuck the mom kind of an energy?
Right, because like, she sounds like she had an awful upbringing.
And maybe, she's...
Or yeah, just some awful experiences, like maybe either through her own or just vicariously, or like through men in her life who treated their moms with, gave their moms more than they gave her.
Yeah.
As the girl.
Well, that's it, yeah. It's because she's talking to the men, sure.
Yeah, but it's like, what the fuck do you have against... Because it was some of the stuff she said made sense, but some of the shit was just very insulting. Because if you even love your mama, like, oh, we get you on the nipple. You a mama's
like,
boy, nigga.
Parent,
like, bitch, what are you talking about? Like, you think I'm going to do more for you than my mom as my girlfriend? Like, and mind you, me personally, you call me a fucking mama's boy, what the fuck ever, like, if anybody got an issue with it, but I had...
Come see me.
Come see me, fuck you. But like, growing up, me and my mom had a very close relationship. I was very attached to my mom growing up.
Mm.
And my mom always gave me a lot of love and, like, you know, gave me a lot of care. Not all of it was the best, because I guess some shit, like, as an adult, I'm like, ah.
Yeah. That wasn't
you're kind
perfect.
Of suffocating, you know what I'm saying? But like, you know, just, you know, but still, like, that's my mother. That's the person who looked out for me, even though I didn't fucking ask to be here, even though I have suffered just from being on this damn earth and I didn't ask to fucking be here. That's still the person that looked out for me, raised me, loved me, and showed me what it is to receive love from, like, you know, feminine energy, especially when I didn't have a father until my stepdad came along, but whatever. And you think that as my girlfriend or as somebody I'm talking to, you think I'm going to do more for you than I would for my own mother? That's crazy.
I don't necessarily think so. I think that you could say, there's lots of bits of context that are missing here, but I'm like, if you go, hey, look, my mom is okay and I have... limit. I'm doing good financially, but I don't have infinite money. Yeah. Am I going to buy a house for my mom, or am I going to buy a house for the mother of my children / my life partner? I don't think it's at all unreasonable to say you should buy a house for you and your partner to start y'all's life, to pass it forward to your children, not to pass it back to your parent. I think either decision is valid, but if somebody said, hey, no, look, you have enough money for one down payment. I'm married to you, nigga. I want you to invest in our life going forward, not your mom, because your mom's not fucked. She's fine. She's living okay.
That's a totally different situation. That's a totally different, and I agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you on that. That's a totally different situation. If the mom is fine,
yeah,
and that might be what she's saying.
Part of.
But it was just kind of like an undertone of.
I agree.
Fuck, mm-hmm. fuck this bitch. Like, I'm the main bitch in your life. Fuck her. You know what I'm saying?
There was a little bit of that.
That was the undertone.
There was definitely that undertone. Because.
Yeah, so, yeah.
But it did seem like she was like, yo, you're putting your mom in a house who was meant to raise you and make sure you're good. You're making sure she's good, but your baby mama's still renting. Like,
Define baby mama.
What she's saying?
Define
the mother of your children. True.
Define that relationship.
Yeah, that's true.
You're going to be renting and then put your goddamn... Like, I mean, I get it. That's your kids, but... That's a whole other conversation. I don't want to come off like any type of way. Like this.
Look, I'm going to say this. There's a few ways to look at what that relationship is, and I think still your mother... Buying a house for your mother should probably be a third priority. So... Either you and the mother of your children are together, in which case this is just your life partner, or y'all aren't together and you're co-parents, or y'all aren't together and you're co-parents and y'all don't fuck with each other. In any of those situations, having a stable owned property that those kids are raised in part of the time should be at the top of your list. Whether that's buying yourself a house so that when the babies are with you, they're there, buying you and your partner a house. Those are the two things. Either way, buying a house for your mom to live in is, I would say, third priority.
Especially assuming that your mom is straight. You know what I mean?
Yes. Like, she's not in a fucked up house.
If your mom's not in dire straits,
I think
the math gets a little bit more complicated and you have to ask more questions, get more context. But keeping it high level, I agree with you, Eddie.
Mm. Yeah. Ditto. If your mom is straight and you got enough to pay it for a down payment on one new nice ass house, absolutely, nigga, start your own life with your family. Cool, but it was just kind of like the undertone of that.
Your mama having you in property says a lot. Poverty says a lot about her deductive reasoning. Was very mean spirited. It was funny, but it was very mean spirited because I've said something almost identical to this. I think
that was a very bootstrappy argument there, Eddie.
It is, kind of because
I'm just fucking with you. It's not.
Well, it's bootstrappy.
Y'all niggas fall for each other's bait so easily.
It's a something.
What did you say?
It's a something argument. It's a something argument. It's just something. Not a bootstrapping argument.
It's exceptionalism. It is a bootstrapping argument because it's acting like poverty is solely a choice. I think it is at least bootstrapping adjacent. So even if you were joking, I think you're right. And I've made this point, which is that if you don't have if you have the wherewithal to understand that you don't have the best environment to raise a child in, don't have one. But and I've also made this point as a caveat to that point. People ain't in situations to be having these high level, like, well, what are the pros and cons of raising this child into adulthood and whether I should or should not, and maybe I'll get a tubal ligation. It's like sometimes you get pregnant and then that's just what it is and that's just your life. You know what I'm saying? That's what the people in your town do and that's it.
And there's so much shit that goes into that. Like, there's so much, like, because I get it, yeah. Because, hell, even me, like, after having that conversation with you a long time ago, like, I'm not even quite sure if I want to have a child just because I don't even know if I want them to be raised in this world, even if I can't provide for them, but just what it means to just live and be responsible for your own damn self one day. I ain't asked for this shit.
And it's tough.
Life is fucking tough.
Like, you're going to be dead for a good 40 years of this person's life that you're creating.
Right.
So.
Like, it was just even going back, there's so much shit that goes into that where people don't even have access to information or even have access to the thought pattern of what it means to have a child other than what they see right in front of them right now. Mm. Oh, my God. If I have a child, if I'm in poverty, this is a government check, girl. You better have another kid. Like, shit, that's another $800 a month you'd be getting off of welfare. Da, da, da. Like, but you're still raising a child in, like, a fucked up environment. But and then they might even have access to abortions or
exactly
whatever else
or
shit,
any
contraceptive, if they don't
any
want
reproductive
child, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And yeah,
no educational differences, like it's a very complicated subject.
Yeah.
You know? And like from my perspective, I do think that like as a person who probably was born into a situation where like them niggas probably should have rethought that shit.
Yeah.
I will say personally, I'm very happy to be here. Even during, like, you know, like, and I'm not extrapolating past myself. I'm not saying that, like, this is not me saying, like, oh, because I'm happy, everybody should just, like, bite the bullet and have their kids and pop. Like, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just kind of bringing it back home because I thought we got really in the weeds on the conversation that, like, gets into philosophical territory that we're not going to be able to answer or even talk to, like, with any level of any sort of specificity. So bringing it back to
my brother, but I live in the realm of philosophy.
Philosophy.
You do. You is a vibes nigga. That is your realm. That is
philosophizing. That's what he does. He got a philosopher on his t-shirt. I don't know.
No.
That is Michelangelo's David, right? That's eating pussy. Yeah.
Here we go.
Aristophanes, I think is his name. But anyway, I'm sorry.
Here we go.
Cutting you off.
Yeah. He'd be eating.
His name is not Aristophanes, but yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But is that not Michelangelo's David on your shirt?
I'm pretty sure it is.
It is. It is.
It's definitely Michelangelo.
About it. Is that not Michelangelo?
But once he's made out of marble, that's a philosopher, you know?
Right? Yeah. Is that not Michelangelo's David on your shirt?
I was like, is that fucking Aristophanes? Like, what the fuck is going on?
I didn't say it wasn't him.
Like, is that Seneca on the shirt? What's going on right now?
Like, God damn it, man.
Not Michelangelo's David.
I'm just saying, man. I studied political theory in undergrad, so like I read a lot of that shit. And I was questioning my lone like trivia knowledge there. But so I'm just saying, you know, bringing it back like personal. You know, I'm happy to be here despite that. You know, I was able to find community and like all that stuff, and my sisters took care of me and all that kind of stuff. I'm not saying that to dispute the fact that it's very complicated. I'm just saying that like you can like live a, you can grow and live a good life even in the midst of my poverty.
Yes.
Like I think back,
yes,
to, like,
yes, yes,
I,
yes,
I think
yes.
in I think back to some
we
of
had
the
that
best
conversation
times of my
about
life.
Like the yeah
you know like even in the midst of all that, you know, I found some goodness and some happiness in it. Wouldn't trade it for the world. Yeah. But I think that anybody who says that that's a very clear cut decision one way or another is not being real with themselves. They're not living in the reality of what it means to live in the world, and I think that they're being short-sighted.
And we probably don't have time for me to get fully in my anti-natalist bag before we finish the pod, but I hear those kinds of arguments or that kind of thing, which is that, like, I enjoy my life or I'm happy to be here or I wouldn't want to be dead, and I think that kind of misunderstands what I think the strongest version of my argument is, which is that you're not comparing being alive to being dead. You're comparing being alive to having never been alive, which a human mind is not capable of comprehending. Like, we are all addicted to being alive in the life that we are living. Like, that is what it is to have a human brain. That's how we're evolved to think. Once we're having conversations about hypothetical humans who will or will not exist, that's totally outside of that.
I'm not trying to dispute your argument. I was trying to go through painstaking steps and painstaking picking of words to basically say that, like, I was just making a point and not trying to disagree with your point. So I'm not
that
trying
a life
to disagree
can, okay,
with your
got
point.
You. That life can be enjoyable even if you're poor, essentially.
Yeah. But I will say point. that just based on like your additional step, I will say, then where does suicide fit in the concept of that? Because everybody's not addicted to their life. Some people can imagine a life that they don't have and find that more preferable to the reality of their current life. And
yes.
Suicide is not only like very rampant, it's also increasing. Like, that's not
What's
something that's getting better. How does what you said fit into the concept of that, the fact that there are actually people that can conceptualize and are not addicted to the life that they live? Regardless of what it is, like there are people that aren't by virtue of the suicide rate.
Yeah, I would say that that's just an exception, that's just an exception. Most human brains are addicted to being alive, and
it's a lot of exceptions.
Not really, like as a percentage.
As a percentage of deaths, like until like COVID, like
no,
suicide
as a percentage
was
of
like,
humans.
And then you also got to think about the fact of the people that attempt and don't succeed. Like, that's like millions and millions of people.
Yeah, there's billions.
And who knows?
And I would say it's less than a percent of people who have serious.
It's definitely more than a
suicidal ideation.
It's definitely more than a percent. And there's definitely more people that have ideations that never act on it than even the millions and millions of people that attempt.
I think ideations is also very
millions of people that actually succeed.
Temporarily not wanting something is not the same thing as having, like, and I think we're maybe getting in the weeds in it. So let me just make a softer version of my point before getting to that bit. In general, human beings, on average, are biased towards continuing to live because all vertebrates are, is my point. There are situations and instances and individual organisms where that is not the case, but on average, we are highly biased beyond what the objective stance, which would be a total indifference to continuing to live or not.
Agreed.
And again, I'm not.
You better
I'm
hit me with a that's fair, goddammit.
I'm not, because there's also the caveat of being very Darwinian, where technically most rational vertebrates would say I would err on the side of reproductive fitness, right? So continuing my legacy. So I would protect my children over myself, for example. I would kill myself to protect my child, or sacrifice myself. So, but that would be the only caveat that I would say to the last.
That's a fair caveat, yeah. But again, even in that instance, my point is, if you go how biased is a rock towards continuing to be to exist versus organic matter? A rock is the zero point. Suicidal is the negative point. I want to stop existing. On average, organic matter has evolved to have a bias towards continuing its existence in some way. And we can on some Richard Dawkins selfish gene shit, we can say that childbearing is a continuation of that. But yep.
But there's also a component of when you have a delineation between the I and the self, when you're conscious of there is myself, I can't live with myself, my life, but and a rock don't have that. It's
not conscious.
I'm here. It's like a tree and a rock don't have that shit. It's just, I'm conscious, I'm living, whatever. This is what it is. Or any other insects doesn't have that. It's only a few other species other than humans that have that clear delineation of the I and the
meta
self.
Thought. Yeah, sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Thinking about your thinking kind of shit.
Yeah, and I say it again, nigga. I mean, hell, I've said it many a times. I have suffered from mental health shit where I have dead ass not wanted to be here, had suicidal ideations. There was one particular night, if I would have had a gun, I don't know if I'd still be here.
Yeah.
And if anybody is out there that's hearing this, this is not a promotion of the shit, but you're not alone. Hang in there, because it does get better. Shit do level out. But it's just the fact of, I know a lot of the times where you have this self-preserving instinct, and that's what y'all was getting at.
Mm.
Everybody, a lot of people have that self-preserving instinct, but then too, you just really go over that ledge. And even if you don't have that self-preservation for your own life, if you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel in your own situation, a lot of the times, I feel at least for me, it's you have a thought of, well, what about the people that this is going to affect? It's I can't do this.
Yes.
And it's at least to keep you here until you find your own footing and your own ground in your life again. It's I can't do this to these people that are in my life who will be deeply impacted by it. And I think there's, Alvin was saying, you have a lot of people who had those ideations, but there's a lot more people who have that ideation versus the people who actually do it.
Definitely.
Yeah, that don't act on it versus the ones who do.
Totally agree. That is 100% a fact. Yeah. So, back to that thing, I think I wanted to shoot a little bit of bail and just say if your parent, even if we want to say, no child has to be here, and by bringing someone into existence, you expose them to the possibility or the certainty of suffering, cool. Given the fact that it's so normalized to have kids at every level of, because it's not just a poverty thing, it's rich motherfuckers who have no business being parents as well. It's if your parent managed to raise you with some amount of love, some amount of care, some amount of support to be able to have you in a better position than they were, to where you're now in a position where you can be buying houses and their grandchildren are going to be better off, I don't think they should necessarily be shat on and said that they, damn, this bitch really dumb for being poor,
I agree.
Not the move, I would say. Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Well,
yes, indeed.
Shall we close it out, my boys?
I feel like it was a little dark ending.
Yeah, it's true. Should we? We want to talk about? We want to talk about Tyrese, or we want to talk about Shamar Moore hopping on stage with Matt Rife?
This young white boy who wants to say nigga so bad because all his friends are black.
I was actually going to say like a good trans joke that I heard that was non-offensive.
Okay, hit it.
But okay,
we'll cut it if you fuck it up. Lil Duval over here, goddamn, get the whole podcast.
No, okay, so.
Let us know in the comments if we did it good or if we on some fuck shit.
I think it's going to be okay. Like, okay. I'm going to fuck up the delivery now. But
whisper it in my ear and okay. I'll say it. No.
Okay. Why did the trans man only eat salads?
Okay, why?
Because he was a herbivore.
I think people are going to have a problem with that. I don't think they're going to like that, actually.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I saw it on TikTok. All the trans people was like, yo, I can't even be mad at
it. They like that?
Maybe my delivery is fucked up, but yeah, that's like, I can't even be mad. That's actually pretty good. I'm going to use that.
Well, because I'm thinking about, for instance, like, damn, I think we're good. You know, I was thinking about it.
Yeah, it's like there's the conversation, which I think has like a ton of validity, actually, of a lot of trans people saying that, like, I was never the sex I was assigned at birth.
Exactly.
I was never that. Like, I was, my body
said
didn't,
that exact
like,
thing.
My body didn't reflect who I actually was. I just needed to make sure that my body could reflect who I was to kind of exist and move in society and kind of break down those barriers to being who I knew I really was. So I do think there's a stance that would say, like, you know, the individual was never a her before. Like, I was always a him. It's just that I didn't present as such.
Yeah, because that's exactly what Finn said when he came through. That he was like, I say specifically, I have never been a woman. I was never a she. I was never a her. I was perceived as one, and people treated me as such, and I was expected to behave as one. But I always knew from day one, this is not sitting right. And then I had language later on to describe what that experience was I was a he before, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, fair point to, like, I agree with what Alvin is saying and, you know, all that, but, you know, because he was previously perceived and socialized as a her before, it don't quite slap as much. So it don't,
yeah.
It's trans-inclusionary. What are you talking about?
But we can cut this out because if it's going to just upset people and piss them off, of course, that's not what we're trying to do here. But
yeah,
it's just like there's also a thing of, when it comes to just jokes, like, it's like you can't be included in on a harmless joke. Like, even if it is like PC.
Yeah, it's like a balance.
And I feel like that was a well-balanced, just like in terms of that one, like, that's a well-balanced, you know. Of course, some people are going to still be upset, but like, most people are like, okay, I get it. That was pretty decent.
I think we're good to leave it in, especially with the conversation and the invite of like, yo, if it is some bullshit as a joke, let us know. And then we'll go from there. It's easy. It ain't.
I love you all. I don't hate you. I didn't say the joke with ill intent or rant. I love niggas. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah, that is the best. You know what I'm saying? Coons of my goons. What do you want to tell? What
do you
want to say?
Come on, baby.
They're the best. I love them. I keep hot sauce in my man purse.
Shit. I mean, you all invited to the cookout over here.
Yeah, whatever you need. We got
vegan ribs.
You want us to add adobo to the spaghetti? Whatever you need. We'll put Old Bay on top of the.
We got some
oxtails
on the grill. We're gonna fucking fricassee them a little later. I don't know.
We'll put jerk chicken in the Alfredo. Whatever you need. We got.
You might have just did something there, man. I don't know, man. We might need to experiment.
Jerk chicken Alfredo actually might slap.
It's called Rasta Pasta.
Thing?
It's Rasta Pasta.
I did not know that. I've never heard that.
Oh, word?
That's a real thing.
Pasta. Oh,
absolutely.
See, I'm telling you, niggas, we got it over here. Come on. We got niggas on the wall and everything. You know, come on down to Sal's Pizza.
No. It's a picture of fucking Martin Luther King and Barack Obama there. You know,
with a picture of Caitlyn Jenner in the middle, just to bridge it all together.
Okay, well, look, everybody, if, you know, if people are telling you that you can't buy your mother a house just to show love, you might be seeing a red flag from them. But at the same time, if you expecting, you know, men to lift everything just because they're strong, you know what I mean? With the caveat that occasionally men or often men don't, you know, do the necessary mental labor within a household, it might could be you that's raving a red flag. Footnote, ampersand, asterisk, whatever. This has been Waving a Red Flag. Join us on Patreon if you want to join the live streams as well as get bonus episodes and the Discord every week. If you want to get the full podcast experience, hop on that. You'll see us weekly live. Like and subscribe to this. Let us know what you think about all the shit, fuck shit, good shit that we said during the episode. And that's it. We got anything else left? We need to... Any other announcements? Let AV know what you think of his haircut. You know what I'm saying? Congratulate him on a new beautiful style. You know?
Please don't. Please don't.
Don't do that. Don't comment on, you know, don't comment on people's bodies. It's actually rude. Yeah.
You can comment on my body. I don't give a fuck.
Me too. I don't mind. You roast me. I don't mind at all, honestly.
No, talk nice to me. It's
cool. Okay. Tell me I'm pretty. Do I look fat in this?
Do I look fat? No. Tell me I look swole when I don't.
Does my dick look fat in this?
You been in the gym, Josh? You know?
Oh. No.
What?
You're so
I've
small.
Been getting a little weight up.
You ever lift something up and a girl be like, oh my God, you're so strong. It's like, yeah, bitch, thank you. Oh my God. Yeah. You trying to get your pussy ate a little bit or like what's right, up? Right. Like,
you know, I played football in high school. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shit, you know. I was in the gym doing two-a-days. You know
yeah, I be cycling. I don't really bike that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not. You know, but it's just casual. You know, these casual muscles.
It's a red flag.